call the November 18th, 2014 Sussex County Council meeting to order. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
We're back off our vacation, I guess. The first thing will be approve the agenda. Mr. Lawson?
Yes, thank you, Mr. President, and good morning, members of council.
Can't hear you. You said he can't hear you.
You're doing best you can, aren't you?
No. Turn it up a little bit.
I might turn it down to 5.3.
Oh, yeah, that.
We'll be good now.
Okay. How's that?
Right, buddy.
Okay. Good morning, members of council and Mr. President. At this time, I have no amendments to the agenda.
Entertain a motion to approve the agenda?
Yes.
Motion, Mrs.
Second.
Deaver. Second, Mr. Cole. Any questions? We'll take the vote. Mrs. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Well, yes, motion carried. Minutes, we had minutes of September 30th, corrected minutes, and minutes of October 28th. Any questions, corrections, concerns on either one of those? Hearing none, they'll stand approved. Mm-hmm. Correspondence, Mr. Moore?
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. We have two letters. The first is from the Mason-Dixon Woodworkers. The Mason-Dixon Woodworkers would like to thank you for your recent generous donation to our charitable outreach initiative. Many a child's Christmas has been brightened through our toy fabrication program, and it is through the generosity of individuals and organizations like yours that makes this possible. And the second letter is from Friends of Delaware Veterans. Thank you for your support of the Veterans Trust Fund dinner as a gold sponsor. The Friends of Delaware Veterans was established to support the Delaware Veterans Trust Fund, which operates under the auspices of the Commission of Veterans Affairs, signed by Dave Skosik.
Correspondence from council.
Yes.
Mrs. Deaver.
I've got a letter from a gentleman, Bob Daniel. He's president of the.
Not working, Mr. Kramer. We're working on it.
He's president of the board of directors of Sandy Bray Solutions Property Management. I'd like to read the second page. The first page is about something that's pending, and I don't think it's appropriate to read his comments on it. But this is a list of approved developments not yet built right here in my district. Cedar Grove Road to Plantation to Robinsonville Road. That's the area. Cedar Grove Estates, 13.9 acres, 49 lots. Cedar Grove, 27.4 acres, 25 lots. Shepherd Walk, 49.3 acres, 92 lots. Now, Robinsonville Road to Beaver Dam Road, we have Gosley Manor, 135 acres, 29 lots. Coastal Club RPC, 373.82 acres, 630 lots. Mulberry Knoll Road, Marsh Island, 68.4 acres, 152 lots. Robinsonville Road and Webb's Landing Road. And on there, we have Love Creek Landing, 162.9 acres, 180 feet lots. John Novosel, 152.8 acres and 209 lots. Route 24, windswept acres, 37.5 acres, 81 lots that we just approved. And I'm going to ask for, let them be built, but please look, just don't take any more new applications. That's what I'm asking. Because that's too much. That's a thousand lots.
Are you?
Mr. Phillips?
1,450 lots.
Anything else, Ms. Deaver?
That's enough.
Anything else from you, ma'am? Mr. Phillips?
Are you suggesting a moratorium, Ms. Deaver?
On new approvals, yes. You all brought all these forth, and that's fine. And they're being built now, but it's astounding that nobody's really looking at the whole picture. If we had a planner, we could look at the whole picture. But we're in a mess. That's a mess in that area. 1,450 lots. And you're going to hear from my constituents about it.
Looks like your constituents moved the wrong place.
Anything else from council?
They don't want to be treated like that.
And then we'll move on. Next thing is the consent agenda. We have three items on there. Wastewater agreement number 856-5. Sussex County Project 8104. Millville by the Sea, Lakeside Village. Millville expansion, Bethany Beach Sanitary Sewer District. Next is a wastewater agreement number 1000, Sussex County Project 81-04. Rehoboth Shores, part one, part of Area 1, Long Neck Sanitary Sewer District. And wastewater agreement number 984-4, Sussex County Project 8104. Coastal Club Phase 1C, Gosley Creek Planning Area. Any questions on these items? Hearing none, entertain a motion to approve the consent agenda.
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Phillips, second, Mr. Wilson. Any questions on the motion? We'll take the vote. Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Phillips.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
I mean, yes. Motion carried. Mr. Lawson.
Okay, thank you, Mr. President. First item under my agenda is the discussion and possible introduction of a draft ordinance. This draft ordinance relates to the floodplain management ordinance. Collectively or historically what we've been calling the FEMA flood ordinance that you have received updates from county staff up to date. I wanted to pass down the ordinance that is updated since the ordinance was attached to your packet on Friday. There's a few editorial updates in here just so you have the most up-to-date ordinance. Recall that this is a requirement for the county to remain eligible for the National Flood Insurance Program. Per FEMA, we have a due date to have the new ordinance adopted of approximately mid-March, March 15, 2015. We've gone over the preliminary design and draft of this ordinance before. What we are attempting to do today is simply procedurally introduce the draft ordinance, get it in our pipeline for scheduling. The public hearing would start with the Planning and Zoning Commission in January. After their hearing, it would be scheduled, obviously, here with the County Council for your consideration. We will go into much more detail about this very large, as you can tell, very large ordinance and what it purports to do. One thing I will point out as one of the issues that we've previously discussed was the mandatory freeboard contained in the draft ordinance or the way that the ordinance is drafted. We do not create a mandatory freeboard as we discussed with you. What it does is allows a provision for height of a structure to be measured from any voluntary freeboard up to 2 feet. Exactly what the council agreed upon last month when we discussed this topic. I don't want to go into too much detail because this is simply just an introduction, and once we get to the public hearings, we can go over this in greater detail.
I'll introduce it.
I won't be here, but while I am here, I think I could go ahead and just ask this question. Is it possible, since much of this is already in our code, for staff at the earliest possible time to make clear what is new and what is current and post it on the website? Thank you.
Yes, and that document is being drafted.
Awesome.
Anything else from council?
I have a question. I've been meeting with some folks. I had a meeting Friday with some folks new to the county. They don't understand why we don't put a 12-inch freeboard requirement across the county. And like Rehoboth Beach is doing, and then if people don't want to comply with that, they can get a special exception. Or they can go to the Board of Appeals. So they're aghast that we're not doing it. So I have new people, and they would like to know.
Yeah, that would be part of the public hearing process. That can come out at that point. There's
okay.
Going to be the two public hearings, planning and zoning, and before council.
All right, thank you.
Anything else from council? Mr. Cole, you want to introduce it?
I'll introduce it.
Mr. Cole introduces it.
Okay. I did not read the title.
Yes, we do.
You need to read that
short title.
Thank you, Mr. Cole. An ordinance to amend Chapter 115 of the Code of Sussex County, Article 1, General Provisions, and Article XVIII, Flood-Prone Districts, and Article XXV, Supplementary Regulations, Section 115-189, Coastal and Flood-Prone Area Protection.
Now Mr. Cole introduces it.
Yes, I'll introduce it again.
Mr. Phillips.
I neglected it. Maybe would have been appropriate at correspondences, but we are honored to have in our presence today Councilman-elect Rob Arlett. And I appreciate everything that Mr. Arlett has done so far. I've been having some great conversations with him, and I look forward to calling him my councilman.
Glad to have you this morning, sir. Lawson.
Okay, thank you. Lastly, the County Administrator's Report for November 18, 2014, item number one. Attached, please find the cost statistics for the fire and ambulance call board for September and October 2014. There were 15,673 total calls handled for the month of September and 15,156 total calls handled for the month of October. Of those 911 calls in September and October, 81% and 79% respectively were made from wireless phones. Item number two, per the attached engineering department fact sheet, Senators Phase 2B received substantial completion effective October 28, 2014, and Batston Creek Estates Phases 1 and 2 received substantial completion effective November 12, 2014. Item number three, the Sussex County Council will not meet on Tuesday, November 25th, during the week of Thanksgiving. County offices will be closed on Thursday, November 27th, and Friday, November 28th, for the Thanksgiving holiday, and will reopen on Monday, December 1st, at 8:30. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, sir. And I think before we, I neglected to do this earlier, and we need to certainly congratulate our administrator on his being named to the Sussex Central Hall of Fame. Is that what it's called? Or
that is correct, yes.
Yeah, yeah.
For what?
Is that academic or athletic?
I certainly fooled someone.
Yeah, do tell. What was it for?
Accomplishments, either professionally or personally in your career since you have graduated from Sussex Central High School.
Outstanding.
So you've been able to keep a job.
well deserved.
I fooled someone. That's what I keep saying.
You make them look good.
Thank you.
That's good.
It's impossible for me.
And Mr. Cole was in no Hall of Fame I know of. So.
Yeah, at Rehoboth High School, we didn't. There's only, I don't know how many left. Chuck was one of them here a little while ago.
Okay, we're going to move right along. Let's go to Gina Jennings, Finance Director, Human Service Grants.
I'm taking a new perspective and going down to the podium.
Okay. Good morning, Mrs. Jennings.
Good morning, Mr. President, members of council. The first item on the agenda under me is the Human Service Grant Program. As finance director, it is my duty to recommend human service grants. I wanted to take a new approach this year. I'm very analytical. I wanted to base it off a formula. So this is what this is. This describes what I did to get to my recommendation. So the purpose of the human service grant program is for nonprofits to contribute to the safe, healthy, and self-sufficient community that we have around us. And they can get our support, and it's for programs or capital purchases. So there were criteria that was very similar to as in the past. You had to apply. This time, though, they applied online versus just a letter. They have to be a nonprofit, just like the past. I asked for a simple income statement that they can show that they needed financial help. It has to be countywide, so they served at least 3 of the 5 council districts, and then meet the purpose of the human service grant that was discussed on the previous slide. This is just some snapshots of the application and things that I had asked for. It's a pretty simple application. The first part was I wanted a copy of the IRS letter or anything to prove that they were a nonprofit. The next section, I wanted to collect some data on what we are giving to and for what benefits. So that's what that part is. You can see there's district 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So I wanted to make sure that it was at least 3 districts out of the 5 that were served. Here's what the income statement was. I asked for the revenue for their project and expenses that used that revenue source to make sure that there was a need. And then the last page, I just asked them to certify that everything is accurate and that I can go back and look at receipts or anything like that, that we can audit them in the future. So here's the formula I came up with. So basically I took that in the budget, you approved $143,520. And then I took all the applications, took the data and figured out how can I best spend the $143,000 based off statistics. So The main category was beneficiaries. So if you served at least less than 250 beneficiaries, you would fall in a category to receive $500 or $750. Next category, between 250 to 400 Sussex County beneficiaries, would be the next step. 400 or greater, it'd be $1,750 to $2,000. I also looked at what we had given in the past to make sure I'm not creating a hardship for people that had relied on this grant in the past. So I saw a consistency with the Boys and Girls Club always got $1,500. So if they were a Boys and Girls Club, $1,500, Cheer Senior Centers, $5,000, and Meals on Wheels, $6,000, so that we were still giving them what we've given them in the past. So here's some statistics. We received $437,000 in requests from 82 qualified organizations. So using the $143,000 that was approved in the budget, we are giving about 33, we're funding 33% of the requests that were given. Then I asked how many beneficiaries. So we're looking at that we are serving about 164,000 beneficiaries in Sussex County. Now, some of them could have been using a program, to more than one program, but in general, I added them all up, and that's what you got. Then I wanted to look at how much is our grant helping these organizations. You know, are there partnerships involved? So of these organizations, they're raising $8.9 million of other support. So when you take our $143,000, we're kind of a drop in the bucket when you look to 8.9. It's more than 0% of $8.9 million. Then I looked at the types of organizations. So they're all human service, but is there an educational component, public safety component? And there were. We have, obviously, all human service grants, but there's a cultural infrastructure, and there was an education component to some of these grants. The types of beneficiaries, the most was low income. The next one is that we're serving the elderly. And then the next one would be the disability and special needs programs. So with that said, these are the recipients of the 2015 grant. There were 9 new applications compared to the past because we've opened it up and put it on our website. And you can see they're listed here in your packet. You could see the actual dollar amounts compared to the year before. I will take any questions.
Questions of Mr. Jennings?
I don't know about questions, but this is something that has been long overdue, and I congratulate you for putting this into a formula-based approach.
Thank you.
Very good.
Anything else from Council?
Ditto what Councilman Phillips said. I'm very pleased with this.
And people can start, that aren't on this list, can start applying, making an application to you immediately?
So they have already applied, and these are the winners.
Okay,
but
starting up for the next year.
Starting for next year, and they all knew when they applied it was a new process, and it was going to be formula-based, so not to guarantee that what you've gotten in the past is going to be the same. And I reached out to everybody. If they didn't apply, had questions, I placed phone calls, made sure that we were all okay. So these are everybody that is on that list that is receiving it. So it was a very successful program this year.
I just have a favorite. Georgetown, SPCA in Georgetown, they didn't apply, did they?
They did not.
They're not getting any. That's a shame.
They didn't apply.
Okay.
My only comment at this point would be maybe that we consider, when she said that of the total amount of money, that 8.9 million or something, right, that we're just a fraction, we may look to maybe increasing the funding, because we do a lot of help here, and as long as we can help these organizations, it's less pressure on small governments, whether it's towns or county, to have to provide some of these services. So I would suggest to the council that we consider, and Todd, you can maybe put this in as a note, that we look to, if we see surpluses, here's a great place to put a surplus. It goes right back in the community. So just yep. Editorial comment.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else from council?
Well, it's a little touchy subject, I guess, but I'm sure every penny is spent well, and there's really no audit of how they handled the money, or is there any kind of audit?
These organizations?
Right, yeah. And I can do that. That's why I changed it up this year to say that I can go back if I hear anything or whatever, to go back to make sure this money is being spent. I made them sign that document.
Yeah, I think there's a senior center in my district. It's sort of in flux. I mean, there's a problem there and about the money. And I'm just wondering how closely we do audit where that money goes.
Have that opportunity
now.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Phillips?
It would be a violation of the law for them to commit a fraud in attaining this money, correct?
Correct. So when we stipulate what it should be used for, when they get their independent audit, we get confirmation from other auditors to make sure they're spending the money correctly.
And the penalty for that fraud would happen to be what?
It depends on the dollar amount, but it could be a management comment that's available, or they would disqualify for future grants. The federal level, depending, federal grants are even worse, that they would just not be able to be awarded for federal grants in the future. So more of its eligibility in future grants.
Okay. So there's probably no way to emphasize to them that it would be something that could be considered criminal.
They are signing their name away on my list that if you are making sure you're not falsely making any references. So if you state something wrong, you're lying on an application.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, and I guess it may be worth considering putting something along the lines of a warning on the application that to falsely give information would result in a criminal charges and being turned over to the AG's office, for instance. I think Mrs. Deaver is correct. There is a concern among my constituents that those organizations that are receiving these funds may be not telling us the whole story or may not really be qualified.
I will work with the attorney to get something more stricter on the bottom. That's fine.
I think in the case I mentioned, it's more an issue of just mess-ups, not fraud, but just, you know, poor bookkeeping, mm-hmm. poor management. But just the same, I would like to know what they're doing with the money.
More questions from council? Mm. Okay.
All right, I have a motion. Be it moved that the Sussex County Council approve the distribution in the amount of $143,520 for the human service grant as recommended by the finance department.
So move.
Motion, Mr. Cole. Do we have a second?
I'm not going to second because Kay Penlopen Senior Center is on there.
Do we have a second down here? Second, Mr. Wilson. Okay. Questions on the motion?
Kay Penlopen Senior Center is the center that is in question, and I've been asked by one of their, members, not to hold that back until that they've got FOIAs all over the place asking for what's going on with the money. They asked me to ask to hold that back until that's settled. So, you know, that's a request.
Obviously, that's something I'm sure Mrs. Jennings can look into, but certainly I would hope we would not hold up the whole grant process.
Oh, no.
Well, that's what you
for
just...
What I heard you say just a while ago was a member contacted you, we have no idea of knowing if that member was with somebody there somebody made a mistake.
No, it was in the paper. It's a member. A number of members are involved. That member has filed a FOIA, and it's very serious. And so that's all I've been asked to do. So if we don't do it, that's fine. I'm just glad that I relayed the message, and here you go.
Any questions on a motion? We'll take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
No.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Phillips.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried.
Thank you. Right.
And then next, you're on for your financial report.
Yes. So in your packet, you saw the financial report for September 30th, 2014. There's another. And as we do every quarter, it is a little difficult just to focus on what has happened those first 3 months because we have a lot of repairs and maintenance contracts, things like that, that are due at the beginning of the year because it's our fiscal year. But when you look at it, you can see our revenues are up 4.6% of our budget, and that's exactly what we would expect since we do budget 20% of our building-related revenues. I went through this, looked at it to see if there's anything that we need to be concerned about, where you see the private road inspections, they're down 56% of our budget. But when I go back in the history, a lot of it is big projects with large checks that come in throughout the year. So I'm not concerned about that. Community development, 97% on budget, but it's a federal grant program that doesn't start till September 30th. So that is exactly what I would expect to see. So again, as you can see, we're doing great. We are over our projections, close to 5%. If you flip over to the next section, the expenditures, we're doing great there as well. We are under budget by 2%. And again, a lot of these where you see they're running over budget for the quarter, but they're not over budget for the year, is because they have maintenance contracts due at the beginning of the year that cover the full year. A lot of our grant programs, our grant, as you can see, is 24%. We do a lot of our grant checks at the beginning of the year. Once it's awarded during the budget, we get the money right out to the people. So, again, we're under budget by 2%, and our revenues are exceeding our expenditures for the first quarter by $880,000. But what I do want to focus on is the economy that we're seeing right now, and that is the extra sheet that was in your packet, and I have it up here so that the audience could see. It's a little blurry. But you'll see that our building-related revenues, they had increased greatly between 2013 and 2014. 2015, this fiscal year, you can see that they have either leveled off or we're seeing a slight decrease, nowhere where we saw it back in 2013. So overall, when you can put in realty transfer tax in with that, it's a $20,000 difference between 2013 and 2014. So in the graph, you can see where it had gone down, it's gone up, and we're just leveling off at this point. So it's good we're not seeing a decrease, but we just need to be cautious, which is we have been cautious by only budgeting 20% of these revenue sources because we know that they're volatile. And then you can see on the one table there, you can see we are over budget by 20%. We budget 80%, we'd be over 20%. So we're doing very well. And then if you look at the number of permits that have been pulled through the first week of November, we're very much in line. 2012 was 535, 2013 was 710, and 2014 was 700. So we're very close, like I said, just a slight decrease. But very much in line in 2013.
Okay. Any questions of Mrs. Jennings?
Did you
Mr.
look at,
Phillips?
I'm sorry.
Mr. Phillips?
Private road inspections seem to be down. I suppose developers are looking at existing projects that may have been put on hold during the recession?
Yeah, and what that is, we get large checks. So it's usually a $15,000 to $20,000 check. So until the project is ready to go and for our inspection fee, it doesn't come in. So looking at the timing and the number of checks that we came in, it's just the timing. We're just talking about July to September, but I see it coming in right in line at the end.
Gotcha. Mr. Deaver.
I was just wondering, how do you look at, for instance, I just gave a list of developments that are approved and ready to be built, and that's going to bring in a lot of transfer tax. Is that in your projection? I mean, I'm sure it would be. But how does that work?
I try not to project too much in the future.
Yeah.
I look at what we're collecting because I'm very conservative when we're collecting the revenue. So even if all those projects are approved in the future, I don't want to assume that we're going to get that money in.
Got it. So. Cash basis. Yeah.
Yes.
Got it. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. You have a question, Mrs. Jennings? Thank you, ma'am.
You're welcome. I have grants next, or do you want a human? Are you ready for the public?
We'll do it up here now. Okay. We're ready. We'll back up to our 10:30 advertised public hearing. Change the zone number 1757.
Yes. Thank you, Mr. President. When the council holds public hearings on zoning applications, they are legislative hearings because council uses the information obtained during the hearings to decide whether to adopt an ordinance to amend the comprehensive zoning map in the manner requested by the applicant. Sussex County, in its zoning and land use decisions, does not discriminate against persons based on race, color, religion, national origin, disability, familial status, sex, creed, marital status, age, or sexual orientation. Public comments made on the basis of bias and stereotype concerning people within these protected classes will not be taken into consideration by the county in its deliberations. Each applicant shall be announced. The director will review with council the minutes and testimony from the planning and zoning hearing, and those minutes will be made part of the record along with any exhibits introduced at the planning and zoning hearing and any recommendation made by the commission. The applicant will be called on to present and explain